Do you remember when the Wollemi pine was discovered, not terribly far from Sydney, about 25 years ago? A living botanical dinosaur, they said. And the wonder was found by an abseiling explorer or two with some scientific smarts, so that the location of the extraordinary discovery could be kept secret. Trouble is, too many villains are out there trying to make the most of rarity and to track down locations for the purposes of poaching. Professor Andrew Lowe has been concerned about this for some time, as too many species are endangered in Australia and being put more and more at risk. He's Professor of Conservation Biology at the University of Adelaide.
Environmental crime, particularly illegal wildlife poaching and timber logging, is extracting a huge toll on the environmental, economic and social resources of our world. According to a recent analysis, unsustainable biological resource extraction, those are bywords for wildlife poaching and illegal logging, has been the number one cause of species extinction over the last 500 years. And in that time has driven the loss of nearly 250 species of plants and animals. The main problem is that this unsustainable trade is worth big bucks. At least 30% of the $180 billion global timber trade is estimated to be illegal, and animal trafficking, valued at $23 billion a year, is the fourth most lucrative black market industry after the smuggling of drugs, peoples and arms. But in contrast to those other black market industries, international law enforcement has proven largely ineffective at tackling environmental crime. A good proportion of the international wildlife trade is driven by collectors who want to own threatened species, and there is a market for birds, lizards, frogs, snakes, and a range of plants such as orchids and cycads. Collectors have easy access to location information on threatened and highly collectible species from sources such as wildlife trade websites, pet and naturalist clubs, citizen science sites, social media, and other popular press. This is despite laws and regulations such as scientific and collecting permits, and community reporting aimed at restricting the collection and trade of endangered species. Against this background, scientists working to protect biodiversity may inadvertently be helping to cause their decline. The problem arises when information on the location of threatened and highly tradable species is openly published, adding to the available online resources which can be used by poachers to locate and remove these species. Scientists are encouraged to publish data so that discoveries can be shared and scrutinised. This means that for taxonomic and population studies, the exact coordinates at which a species can be found are described in detail. This is in addition to a range of other useful natural history information, such as population sizes or habitat preferences, which may also help to locate plants and animals. The recent example of the Chinese cave gecko, which went extinct at the location where it was first discovered and described, potentially at the hands of scientifically literate poachers, shows that these concerns may be real. However, despite the potential for this type of information to fall into the wrong hands, typically the issue for threatened species is that there often isn't enough information to form proper conservation management. For example, in New South Wales, more than 150 species have missed out on conservation funding because of a lack of such information. Those charged with monitoring and managing our threatened species need information on the location, population sizes, and behavioural information to track the health and well-being of endangered populations. Understanding the state and trajectory of populations, particularly connected with different management interventions, is the baseline information needed to conserve threatened populations or help protect habitat that endangered species live in. This is then a classic catch-22 situation, where the public release of location data, which is required to manage and protect rare, endangered and highly collectible species, can put those very species at risk. To reduce this problem, some have recommended that location information should be withheld by researchers. But this course of action will mean that this information is not then available to those that work to help conserve and manage the world's most threatened species. If information is to be published, scientists need to understand their responsibilities and need to publish such information securely so that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. Many governments have implemented sensitive data policies to protect the ecological and species data of threatened species. Some of these policies have been in place for more than a decade and are practiced by numerous data portals worldwide, including South Africa's National Biodiversity Institute, Australia's Virtual Herbarium, Australia's Department for Environment and the Atlas for Living Australia. It would be fair to say that these policies, which Australia has taken a global lead in developing, have kept secure the location of hundreds of highly collectible species, including, for example, Australia's Wollamai pine. The Wollamai pine can only be found in a single population consisting of fewer than 100 adult plants within Wollamai National Park. The grove of plants was first discovered over 25 years ago and has been kept secret ever since. Cuttings of these plants are highly prized, and a high-profile theft of one of these plants occurred from Brisbane Botanic Gardens, despite the plant being protected by a cage. Interestingly, pressure on the natural population has declined following a successful propagation and national nursery distribution program for the plant. But back to data publication. A wealth of advice is available to researchers and data managers on how to manage sensitive species information, including not divulging location data in print and only using secure portals to deposit data. This advice is provided openly by Science International and the Australian National Data Service. Science journals also work closely with open data repositories to ensure that sensitive species information is securely published. Most leading journals, including, for example, Science and Nature, follow such policies. Typically, sensitive data, for example location, will be flagged during the early stages of publication. The data are then secured in one of three ways. The information may be masked by giving only approximate location information or non-specific species names. The data may be available only after approval by the legal owners of those data. Or the data may be embargoed for a period of time, typically 2 years. So, against this background, how can researchers best help protect the species they're working on? First, we need to know and understand the threatened, protected, and collectability status of species that we study. Highly collectible species include desirable, charismatic, or commercially valuable species such as brightly coloured birds, reptiles, and amphibians, cage or aquarium-friendly species like lizards, salamanders, and frogs, or attractive and unusual plants like cycads, ferns, and orchids. Other problem species are those that are vulnerable to physical disturbance and disease and may be introduced by collectors or photographers. Working with some species, like frogs, may require extra quarantine or careful handling procedures. We also need to be careful not to introduce the spores of fungal diseases to sensitive populations. For example, Phytophthora for plants and Chytrid for amphibians. Second, when working on highly collectible, rare and easily disturbed species, we shouldn't publish the location of study populations in the printed literature, including scientific publications, published reports and media articles, and certainly not on social media or openly accessible websites. A range of data portals exist that practice sensitive data publication policies and through which this information can be safely published. These include Data One in the US, South Africa's National Biodiversity Institute, Australia's Virtual Herbarium, Australia's Department for Environment, the Global Biodiversity Information Facility, the Terrestrial Ecosystem Research Network, and the Atlas for Living Australia. Third, governments have a responsibility to find and take down location information of highly collectible, rare, and easily disturbed species, but this is an ongoing and difficult task. For example, the location of the Wollamai pine was discussed by bushwalkers and published online, only to be taken down shortly afterwards by state authorities. Fourth, the online data portals that house and manage sensitive data should move to harmonise their procedures and work more closely with governments and conservation organisations to rapidly update rare, threatened and disturbed species statuses. These four steps will help ensure that scientists aren't contributing to the problem of poaching. It is possible but needs increased vigilance, action and prosecution. Keeping the location of highly collectible species secure is important, and we need to exercise caution in publishing precise site locations. But despite recent concern, online scientific data publishing practices have matured to minimise misuse, such as illegal or excessive collection, disturbance risk, and landholder privacy issues. These online data portals can be used to keep threatened species data safe. If we don't deposit these valuable data, then we risk losing vital knowledge in the quest to protect wildlife. Fundamentally, we also need to tackle the core problem here, which is wildlife poaching. We should perhaps be seeking to motivate poachers to help protect our most endangered wildlife and establish a sustainable framework for our most glorious species, as has been done for Wollamai pine. Such tactics are thought to have contributed to the discovery of several endangered bird species populations, and potentially the recent rediscovery of the night parrot in Queensland, after we thought it had gone extinct over a century ago. If poachers are willing to turn gamekeeper, getting them to share their rare species knowledge securely would certainly improve conservation outcomes.
So there's an invitation. Stop vandalising, join the conservers for everyone's benefit. Andrew Lowe is a Professor of Conservation at the University of Adelaide. Next week, Frank Santo goes philosophical. Surprising for an engineer, isn't it? I'm Robin Williams.